Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. And with me today, I have my own personal and private technical advisors. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jeff. Thank you for asking.
That is absolutely awesome.
And now that I've unmuted my microphone, that is. So, yeah. That's good.
Oh, so we probably missed the important part, you know, where you gave us the only time you could the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
I did. I gave you that answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, story of my life. Brian Chaffin, how are you doing?
54. Douglas Adams was a poser.
Well played, sir.
I'm kidding, of course. Douglas Adams is awesome. Was awesome.
He was. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
So I'm doing very well.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. We have a sponsor today that is Casper, the awesome mattress company. We will talk about them soon. But the first thing I thought we should talk about is the current state of this case, the antitrust case where Apple is being accused of using monopoly power to lock competitors out of the music and portable media player market. And where we stand with this right now, all three of the plaintiffs that the law firm representing the case have all been disqualified because they did not buy iPods during the right time frame. And the last plaintiff was booted from the case yesterday because the iPod that she has was actually purchased by her husband's law firm instead. That would also, by no small coincidence, be the law firm that is suing Apple.
Oh, so great. So case over and done with. Apple can go ahead and kiss this one goodbye, right?
You would think, however, you would be wrong, because the judge has told the attorneys representing the now non-existent plaintiffs that they need to find new plaintiffs, and they need to do so by today. So at some point today, they're going to march some new people into court, because a lot of iPods were sold. It shouldn't be that difficult to find someone that actually qualifies to be a plaintiff in this case. And then they'll present those people to the judge, and then Apple will get to do their little investigation to make sure that these people actually do qualify. And if they do, then the case can move forward.
That's fascinating to me that's how it works.
It is fascinating, but, you know,
I get it, though.
Class actions, they operate on their own rules.
Yeah.
With and this particular case has had such a tortured life and has gone through so many different permutations. It sounds crazy to us on the outside, but I really don't think it's as crazy within legal circles as it may seem.
No, it makes sense. I mean, it seems, like you said, on the outside, it seems crazy to say, well, of course they sold a ton of iPods. Why do we need to find, like, one dude that happened to have bought one in order for this case to move forward? The merits of the case aren't changed one iota if the lead plaintiff is someone else, right? It doesn't matter. And in this particular case, that is true. The iPod is a ubiquitous device, a ubiquitous enough device, certainly was a ubiquitous enough device then. And so we all grok that, yes, people bought them. There is no there's no question as to that. And then it can be argued that there's no question that everybody that bought one was locked into this ecosystem and yada, yada, blah, 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 right? You know, or whatever the merits of the case are. And that'll be decided at trial. But that's not true of everything, right? And it's, like you said, it's those overall rules that need to be protected here and serve to protect companies and people and serve to protect all of us, that you need to find someone that is affected by the problem. You can't just say, hey, look, this company created a problem. We should sue them and get lots of money. You actually need to find people that were affected. You can't just say it was, you know, this nebulous, and theoretically someone could have been. No, you have to find someone that was, and that's why this is happening.
Yeah, and to that effect, that is essentially what happens. Lawyers sue. There are a lot of class actions where lawyers sue and then go fishing for plaintiffs.
Right.
Yeah, and that does happen all the time. Par for the course. Yeah.
And it's ugly, and it's kind of disgusting.
It's a hack to our legal system.
Yes, it is a hack.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but it's not. It's definitely not. It's not at all that uncommon. So the fact that the judge is allowing them to find a new plaintiff is not. It's very doubtful to me that this is some sort of conspiracy against Apple or really even that it's unfair to Apple. Now, I read in the Mercury News, which is what you were sourcing this morning, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple was saying that we really didn't want to win it this way. We think we can win on the merits of the case.
And that actually makes sense that Apple would want to win on the merits of the case, because then that sets a precedent for them.
Right. It's dismissed with prejudice and it's done.
Yep. Yeah, it's done. And it also shows that Apple was not abusing monopoly power. And then that's in the court record.
That's the thing about this case that drives me nuts. It's throughout the life of the iPod, there were always tons of competitors for the iPod. Throughout the life of the iTunes Store, there have always been tons of competitors for the iTunes Store, and there was no barrier to entry to those markets. And yeah. So I fail to see how Apple had even monopoly power, even though they had the lion's share of the market. It was anywhere between 60% and 80% of either market at any given time during their heyday. But I don't think Apple had monopoly power, because again, there were lots of competitors.
That's true. There were lots of competitors. They were just not able to compete on the same scale that Apple was. And I think that's where the big thing or the big complaint is for these companies that at the time were trying to compete. They simply couldn't. And so we end up with a lawsuit because they feel all hurt. And that's also kind of how a business works sometimes. And it sucks.
So in the meanwhile, as far as the case goes, Apple has until today. I'm sorry, the plaintiffs have until today to present an actual plaintiff. And they claimed that people were coming out of the woodworks clamoring to be part of the suit.
Of course. Well, my guess is that there might be a little bit of exaggeration there. However, I don't think there will be any issue at all at finding a qualified plaintiff for this case.
Yeah, it's certainly gotten enough coverage that anyone who, A, just wants a shot at winning $20 or really hates Apple.
Or someone wants their moment in the spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of reasons. I mean, this case has gotten a lot of coverage. Certainly enough to, I mean, like there were just a lot of people who had iPods during the 2006 and 2009 timeframe that this right. that this suit covers.
The number of people though that will actually qualify will be lower than that, because I believe in addition to having to be able to prove that they purchased an iPod during that window, they also need to show that they were not able to load music onto their iPod that they wanted to. Because if you were totally fine purchasing from the iTunes store or ripping your own CDs and loading those on to your iPod, you were not negatively impacted. It's just like if you're using a service like Reel or Rhapsody or whoever and used one of the hacks that lets you put your music on and then lost it with a software update, those are the people that qualify.
Fair enough. But again, exposure, there's probably exposure to enough of those people that these attorneys can probably find someone.
Sure. And I would be very surprised if they don't find someone. So the case will continue to move forward, and Apple will get their opportunity to try and win on the merits of their argument.
Yep.
Yeah. So we are not done with this topic. I have no doubt it's going to come up again at some point. And yeah, like so many lawsuits. Hey, on a happier note, we have a sponsor today, and that is Casper, the company that makes mattresses. And as I recall, actually all of us have one of their mattresses now, don't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're not familiar with Casper, they make a really good, really high end. I guess you could call it like a hybrid mattress, because it uses two different types of foam to create the mattress itself. So you get good support. It doesn't like wrap around you and put you in a cocoon sort of thing, and it doesn't cause you to get too hot, which is great. And even greater, they're at a very affordable price.
Yeah, I would call it a premium. It's in the class of premium foam mattresses. It is the type of mattress that you would get if you were to go somewhere and buy the top of the line. That's what this is, except, like you were about to say, the price.
Right. So in my case, I have a queen size mattress, which costs $850. If you went somewhere else to buy it, it would cost well over $1,000. And they keep the price down because they don't have the overhead of a lot of other mattress companies. They, you know, you buy it from them and they just ship it right to you. And you cut open the box, you pop it out, it magically just comes up to its full shape and size. And so you can open the box and 2 minutes later go to sleep on your mattress. And they're really comfortable. My sleep patterns have definitely improved.
Oh, mine have massively.
It's just absolutely wonderful. So we love our mattresses, and clearly Casper wants you to love one too, because they gave us a $50 discount code that you can use to pick up your own. And that code is really tough to remember, TDO, for TMO Daily Observations, so TDO. So what you need to do is go to Casper.com and pick out the mattress that you want, use the TDO code, and get your $50 discount and start sleeping better. So thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week, and everyone go pick out your mattress. Okay, so the other topic I wanted to take a look at real quickly is this whole thing with the Steve Jobs movie that Aaron Sorkin has been trying to make, the one that's based on Walter Isaacson's biography of
Steve Jobs. The officially sanctioned one.
The officially sanctioned one. Yes.
Officially sanctioned one from Walter Isaacson. It's not like it's officially sanctioned by Steve Jobs or Apple or anything.
Correct. By the author of the book. Yes. Yes. Excellent distinction. Correct.
That's true. Especially because the focus of the story, Steve Jobs, is not in a position to sanction any movies right now.
That's right.
And I'm assuming that will not change anytime soon. So this movie has had its own level of drama. I mean, it started off with Sony totally jumping on this and really excited to snap it up and pay for this movie to get made. But then we had Christian Bale, who was asked to play the role of Steve Jobs. He declined. Then Leonardo DiCaprio ends up signing on to play the role, and then he backs out. After that, we have Sony getting a little worried about the state of the project, and they back out. And so,
have they officially backed out? Sony has now.
Sony has officially backed out. Wow. Universal has officially picked up the project.
Okay. Yeah, you know. So this is interesting. I believe all of us here have, and probably many folks listening watched the Ashton Kutcher film that was done a couple of years ago, or a year, right? A couple of years ago.
Yeah. A couple of years ago.
Yeah. It seems that, well, certainly my opinion of the movie was that I thought Ashton Kutcher did an amazing job as Steve Jobs, and I thought the people who wrote the movie did a horrible job telling a story. They did an excellent job showing a series of somewhat related vignettes that were kind of nice to see realized as someone who followed Apple for many decades, right? But there was no story there. And I've been sitting in this weird place thinking, well, I'm really excited about – I'm a big fan of Aaron Sorkin's work because he writes some of the best soliloquies that we have ever heard, right? And I love watching The Newsroom. I was a big fan of West Wing. It's just killer writing. And I think he is perfect to write the part of Steve Jobs. And the problem is I feel like the perfect actor for that part may have passed, and it seems like – perhaps these other actors agree with that.
It may very well be.
Are you talking about Christian Bale?
Yeah, Christian Bale and Leonardo DiCaprio, right? I mean, both of them have bailed out of this project.
Right, yeah. And when Leonardo backed out, then Sony was clearly concerned that the project wouldn't have the draw that it needed to make its money back.
What about Noah Wiley? I know he was very interested in reprising that role, and when I say reprising, I mean he was Steve Jobs in Pirates of Silicon Valley, right?
He was, and I really liked how he portrayed Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, so he may be too old to make that work now, but maybe not. I don't know. But
You know, there's makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sure, there's CG.
Yeah, it seems like the I think. You know, in that they were going for Christian Bale and they were going for a Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm guessing that Sony, at the very least, wants a bigger name than Noah.
Yeah.
Sure.
They may not get it, though.
Well, they do have actors attached to the project now. They have Michael Fassbender and Seth Rogen.
Right. Okay.
Seth Rogen is
Waz.
Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to play Waz. Yeah.
I can. I could get behind that.
Yeah. I would like to see Waz played more accurately. I mean, I know that in the Kutcher movie, Waz was basically the role of, you know, Jiminy Cricket, right? He was not to play the role of Waz. He was to play the role of Steve Jobs' conscience, right? In those vignettes that he was even in.
Yeah, the entire role of Steve Wozniak, I thought, was pretty horrible in that movie.
Well, it wasn't Waz, right? I mean, it wasn't even close
Correct.
To Waz. So, you kind of had to just give up on that and say, okay, they needed some contrast here, and they assigned it to this character, and they gave him a name of someone that was part of Steve Jobs' past. And that was about as close as they got, right? I don't think their goal was to accurately portray Waz. It was, you know, to highlight Jobs in these, like I said, these vignettes.
True. Well, and the name of the movie was Jobs. So
correct.
There was that. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Sony booted out the original director, which was David Fincher, and now Danny Boyle is directing.
Hmm.
So yeah, and then Natalie Portman had been asked to play the, I believe it was Steve Jobs' daughter, and she has declined.
Specifically Lisa, by the way. He has multiple daughters.
Oh, that's right. So, yes, it would be Lisa. And she has declined to be in the movie as well. So, you know, the fact that we have the acting talent not participating when asked, that has me a bit concerned about the future of the movie as well.
You know, Universal could really take this in a different direction, and they could cast Benedict Cumberbatch as Steve Jobs.
Well, to be fair, I'm pretty sure Benedict Cumberbatch gets cast as every role in every movie now.
Is it too late to suggest Kevin Bacon?
Considering the track record, no, it is not too late.
I'm not convinced Michael Fassbender is the right person for this role.
No, I don't think so.
No.
But as long as we get someone that knows Kevin Bacon, I think we'll be fine.
I think we're covered there.
Okay. Well, then what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. So anyhow, my prediction is this movie is going to be fraught with delays and behind the scenes drama, and we will probably see it, but it won't be when Sorkin wanted it to come out, and it won't be with the same energy and excitement that it could have had otherwise.
Go ahead, Brian.
There's one more factor here that could be playing a role in the Sony's backing out, et cetera. And that's the longer this goes, the less excitement about the movie will exist, the longer it goes from Steve Jobs' passing.
Right. I agree completely. Yeah. And that has to be a big concern for the studios. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time.
Can I just suggest one more?
Yes.
Just in case somebody's listening. I think it's obvious. It'll be obvious to everyone. Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You are not in charge of casting, sir.
No.
That was obvious.
I'm kind of liking this. I think if I want to cast a movie, Dave, I'm just going to hand that part over to you. And
you know, here's what you might as well do, though. If you're going to have me cast the movie, hand the part over to me and write me the check, because I'm going to tell you right away the answer: Pierce Brosnan.
On a serious note, there is one person who would have done a good job of playing this role:
Steve Carell.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, right? You're totally right, Brian. That's who needs to do this role. But it would be weird for him to do it again. And probably, you know, in violation of some terms of his contract if they do it anytime soon.
Yeah, probably.
But you're right. We've had the best Steve Jobs that we're going to have in this time period, I think.
And unfortunately, we had him in the wrong movie.
Correct. But he was amazing. I mean, if you watch some of that footage of him, like, walking in the distance in the Apple campus, if you told me that was B-roll footage of Steve Jobs that they just plugged into the movie, I'd say, yeah, sure, of course.
Sure.
Yeah. No argument. In fact, it may well have been. It's hard to say, right? He did such a good job. He really studied that part and was the right guy. Anyway, I know we got to move on.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I agree with you. I think he would have been really great for this, but
Pierce Brosnan.
So we'll have to go with Pierce Brosnan. All right. We are like really so totally out of time. So we are wrapping up. Dave, thank you for joining me today and bringing your brilliant casting recommendations.
My Pierce Brosnan pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here. And I'm sorry that you didn't get cast in lieu of Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
Yeah. And thanks to Casper for being our sponsor today. Go over to Casper.com and pick out your mattress and use discount code TDO to get $50 off, because you should have a good night's sleep. We all deserve that. And we'll see everyone tomorrow.